Well, this Father's Day, we thought we'd have a scripture passage for the men, and we're going to enjoy the story of David and Goliath this morning. And it's probably one of my favorite stories, honestly. I love this story. The more you get into it, the more you see that's there. And what I hope we can do this morning is just give you a taste of some of the stuff that's there that you can take at home and read it. And you'll find some very fascinating and wonderful stuff there. So if you have your Bibles, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And as Mary Jonas kind of alluded to, we're thinking about David and Goliath in the context of facing giant problems, which is what David did. And I think in all our lives, there's all these challenges, right? Maybe it's a challenge at work. Maybe it's an ethical issue where you have a boss that wants you to cut corners, or coworkers that want you to cut corners, or maybe it's a job security thing. I've been to a couple of different barbecues over the weekend with our neighborhood one and a small group one, and we get into conversations at these things, and everybody's talking about the economy and, you know, are the layoffs over? Is there going to be more? You know, are there going to be jobs? All those kind of things. Maybe it's a health challenge. Maybe you're facing a challenge there, or maybe it's a family issue, a child, a parent, a spouse. Whatever it is, I think all of us face challenges, and we face these challenges, and we try to figure out how do we handle them. And I want to suggest to you this morning that if you kind of want to grab a quick sleep, what I'm going to say this morning is how we handle them depends on how we see them. And if we don't see them right, we will never handle them properly. And this whole story of David, I think, revolves around how everybody sees all the challenges that are there. So we're going to read together from David's story, and this is where you need your Bible, because I don't have the... I started to put this in there, man, but this chapter is a long chapter, and we're going to read all of it. But we're going to read the first 24 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 17, and familiar, but unfamiliar. And I just, as you're hearing the story read to you and you're reading along with me, just try and figure out how is everybody seeing everybody else in the story. Okay? Now, the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Succah in Judah. And they pitched camp at Ephes Damim between Succah and Azekah. So if you can picture Israel, kind of you got Jerusalem over here, you got the Mediterranean Sea over here, and kind of halfway in between in the mountains in a valley is where they're located. The Philistines occupied one hill, the Israelites another, with a valley in between them. And they had a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall, had a bronze helmet on his head, wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels, which would be about 125 pounds. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, or leg armor, and he had a bronze javelin slung on his back, and his spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels, which is like a 15-pound end on that sucker. His shield bearer went ahead of him, and Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? So why don't you choose a man, have him come down to me, and if he's able to fight and kill me, we'll become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects to serve us." And then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." And on hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David, the son of an Ephrathite, which is the area around Bethlehem, named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. And Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. And Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. David, the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul. David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And for 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Meanwhile, Jesse had said to his son David, "Take this roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp, and take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are doing. Bring back some assurance that they're still alive. They're with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up, set out as Jesse had directed, reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines were drawn up, their lines facing each other. And David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. And as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defense, and David heard it. And when the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Father, I pray this morning as we look at this that you would help us to figure out some things in our own lives. Father, we don't fight battles against giants in the desert, but Father, we face all kinds of challenges. And this morning, I just pray that you would help us to figure out where you are in all this and how we can rely on you to face our challenges. And so, Father, we just pray that you would guide us in our thinking this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to spend this morning looking at how people see things. And so I want to just paint you a picture of how I see this whole story at this point. David is spending some time at home, the youngest son. He gets all the work, apparently. He was, remember last week when he got anointed king, which he doesn't get to become until Saul dies in a whole bunch of years. But he was out tending the sheep then, you know, and they had to call him in. So he's still tending sheep, and his father says, I want you to go back and forth, and I want you to take some food to your brothers, and, you know, take a couple of cheeses and bribe the bribe their commanding officer to keep them safe. And so Jesse sends him on this errand, and David goes. And he goes to see the battle, and I think he was probably, you know, if I was a little kid like David, like I hold he was like young teen, maybe a teen, I would be excited to go see the battle, you know, just see something happening. But he gets there, and it's like halftime at a football game. I mean, nobody's doing anything. The Philistine army is kind of lounging on the grass on that side, and the Philistines and the this side, Israelites on that side, nobody's actually doing anything. No one's even close. They got this giant guy named Goliath, and he's yelling at the Israelites. And we don't know anything about Goliath except this story, but we know he's big and dumb as a man can come, but he's stronger than a country horse. And so, you know, he's challenging the Israelites. He's somewhere between 7 and 9 feet tall, depending if you think there's hyperbole in the story. And he's big, and he's tough, and he's mean, and he's arrogant, and he's a natural bully. He's a kind of guy that, you know, his body is just scarred from all the previous fights he's been in. His nose is broken in a couple of places, tooth or two missing. He's got this wonderful armor that's just worn out, you know, and it's got holes in it, and it's stained, and it's just constant use. It's a guy whose eyes are just dead cold. And years of indiscriminately killing everything and anything that got in his way, he's a guy that only feels alive on the field of battle. He only feels alive when he's in the midst of the fight. He's the only feels alive when the danger all around and the blood is running. And this is Goliath. This is the way they see Goliath. And that's the problem that the Israelites faced. And I mean, they had Saul on their side. And Saul, you remember, when he was elected king, was like a head taller than everybody else. But a head taller is not 7 to 9 feet taller. And he's big, but he's just not that big. And he's strong, but he's just not that strong. And he's a warrior, but he's not that kind of warrior. And his armor, it looks like it's a little shinier. It's just come off the shelf a little bit. And he's experienced, but he's not in the class of Goliath. And Goliath calls out, and he calls him out, mano a mano, you know, come on, let's just take this on. You're the big boy, I'm the big boy, let's have it out. You know, a couple of enforcers on the ice going at it. And Saul sees himself shrinking. And Saul sees what's going to happen if he goes into battle. He knows he doesn't stand a chance against this guy. All he faces is either death or dishonor, and he doesn't know which one is worse. And into that scene walks David. Well, we've seen David. We've seen Goliath through Saul's eyes. We've seen Saul through Goliath's eyes. Let's take a look at David through Goliath's eyes. We have to skip ahead a little bit. And in your notes there, it says, Goliath looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. And so Goliath looks at David eventually, you know, because they're going to fight each other, right? Spoiler alert, they have a fight and David wins. No size, no scars, no armor, no battle experience. The least likely soldier there probably is on the Israelite side. He's just a kid come to bring a care package to his brothers and a little bribe to the commanding officer to keep him alive. He's a boy. In fact, he's a pretty boy, it says. And Goliath despises him. And yet they get into this battle, and the question comes this morning, what possesses David that he thinks he can take on Goliath? And I want to suggest to you in 4 points, it's all about how he sees. And the first thing is just simply how he saw Goliath. Let me just keep reading from the passage. The Israelites have been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel, and the king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family line from taxes. All the stuff everyone wants. Every man's idea of a prize. David asked those standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine? I love the way he does this, you know. What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes his disgrace? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So they repeated to him what they'd been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. And when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger and said, why have you come down? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. What have I done? Said David. Can't I even speak? And then he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. And what David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And it's this thing of how he sees Goliath. And it's in your notes there. It says, David asked the man standing there, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? It's interesting trying to figure out David's motivation. His brothers had a very clear picture of who he was. His brothers say, I know how conceited you are. You just came down here to watch the battle. You just came here to get away from the sheep. You just came here to get a little excitement in your life. And they just see a little brother trying to get attention. And maybe they're right, you know, who knows? I keep trying to figure out as I read the story what his motivation really was. It's easy to see a mixed motivation in David. He keeps asking about the reward. Maybe because he wants to know if this is a battle worth fighting, or maybe because he wants to get noticed by Saul and invited to fight. But whatever the motivation, he has this key motivation that God's honor was being offended. And where everybody else saw a giant and a warrior and a bully, David saw an uncircumcised Philistine. That's really one of my favorite things. I call people that all the time on Deerfoot. I just think it's biblical. So David actually calls him that twice, by the way. He calls him again in verse 36. He calls him an uncircumcised Philistine. And the uncircumcised part was really just saying, you are not one of us. To be circumcised was to be one of the people of God. To be an uncircumcised Philistine means you're not one of the people of God. And he didn't see that as just an attack on Saul. He didn't see that as an attack on his country. He saw it as an attack on his God. And David said he's got this great belief in God, and David says he's going to do something about it. Now, here's the fun stuff. I mean, if you want to read the story carefully, if you read the story and you look for the word Goliath occurs 3 times in the first 9 verses. Then David comes on the scene, and the word Goliath never appears again. It's always the Philistine. The Philistine came forward. The Philistine did that. The Philistine did that. The problem was not a person. The problem was this issue that was facing God's people. And once David comes on the scene, it's no longer just Goliath. It's this Philistine thing. It's been reframed not as a person, but as a spiritual battle. And it's those verses in your notes there that Paul says, our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. See, the first thing about seeing our problems is we got to see our problems correctly. And our problem is not that person. It's not that issue. It's a spiritual battle that we're in. And David sees the spiritual dimension that the battle is in. The second thing is he also sees his own past. So David goes up to Saul, and Saul calls him up and says, I hear you're interested in fighting Goliath. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're little more than a boy. He's been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, and this is how he saw his past, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep, I went after it, I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. And the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul was so impressed that he said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. The first thing that gave David courage in the battle against what he was facing was how he saw the battle, how he saw Goliath. The second thing was how he'd seen God in his past. And he'd had all kinds of challenges before, and he'd always seen God come up with him on them. And so David says to Saul, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And I just kind of wonder sometimes, do we see God at work? Do we remember that this is not the first challenge that we've ever faced? And I wonder this morning, when we're thinking of giant problems that we face, do we notice God at work in our lives? Because sometimes we don't. You know, we pray about something and then it gets answered. And we say, oh, good. You know, it got answered. God, you don't need to be on the case anymore. We fail to see how God, maybe behind the scenes, has worked things out. And we rush from thing to thing, and we're so busy with the next challenge and the next opportunity that we don't reflect. And David, who had all this time sheep herding, got to sit under the trees while he was watching the sheep, and he got to reflect with God. That's when he wrote his Psalms. That's when he wrote the words to the music, in a sense. And he knew it wasn't him that had killed the bear. He knew it wasn't him that had killed the lion. And he knew it was God that was there with him. And I just kind of wonder this morning, you know, this is Father's Day. We thank our fathers for all the things they've done for us. What are the things that we need to thank God for? Those little serendipitous moments when things just worked out. The unexpected call, the unexpected meeting, the coincidental connection with someone. The lucky break when you were better than you should have been. Better than you thought you were. And I wonder if part of seeing our problem correctly is remembering God's faithfulness in the past. How David saw Goliath, uncircumcised Philistine, outsider taking on the armies of God. How he saw his past. God has always been there. He's enabled me to do things I've never been able to do. Third point, how he saw the problem. Saul says, okay, David, you can have a go at this guy. So Saul dressed David in his own tunic, and he put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head, and David fastened on his sword over the tunic, and he tried walking around. He wasn't used to them. I can't go in these, he said to Saul. I'm not used to them. And he took them off. I always think of that as, you know, you've got five-year-old girl that wants to dress up like mom, and so she puts on mom's dress and puts on mom's high heels and kind of totters around a little. Yeah, that was sort of David. You know, Saul was a big dude. David, not so big. He's always described as pretty, but never described as tall. And he's put on the stuff, and he's, no, I don't think this is me. Can't go in these, he said. So he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, and he put them in a pouch of his shepherd's bag. And with a sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. And he looked David over, and he saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, which reciprocated what David had done to him with his god. "Come here," the Philistine said, "I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." So here we have Saul buys all his stuff in the big and tall store. David kind of buys in the midget section. And, you know, the armor thing doesn't work, but David says, I'm good. I don't need that. I remember the past. Whenever I fought the bear, whenever I fought the lion, whenever I fought this, I had none of this stuff, but I had enough. And David understands that Saul's picture of him is not the right picture. Saul pictures him as a warrior fighting another warrior, and so he puts him in his armor. David says, that's not the picture. I'm a shepherd fighting him. It's all about God's glory. And so David grabs these stones. And so you have this small, unarmored teen facing this giant soldier with his armor bearer in front of him. And David is about the size and the age of Saul's armor bearer. And Saul's armor bearer is like a caddy. You know, he's carrying all the extra equipment for Saul. And he's kind of whispering in Saul's ear, "I think David's about 170 yards outwind from the left, blowing about 5 to 10. I'd use the 7 javelin today." And Saul looks at him and says, "I'm fighting a caddy. Come on, at least bring a guy out to face me." And it's interesting, again, just to see what he sees. How does he describe David? "Am I a dog that you come out at me with sticks?" Because David had his staff in his hand. What did he kill Goliath with? With the one thing Goliath didn't see. Never mentions that he had a sling. All he sees is he's a warrior with a spear. What's the closest thing David has to a spear? A staff. That's all he sees. It's interesting what people see and don't see in this story. And David goes up against him. You know, I've tried to figure out, and I don't know, this has always bothered me, and maybe this week I've figured out more than I've ever figured out. Why does Saul choose David? It's one-on-one, winner-take-all, and you put your smallest guy, least experienced guy in the battle? Doesn't make sense. Got to be someone else that's willing to fight. Even Saul fighting and losing is better than having, you know, this kid go in. And somehow God gives David favor in the eyes of Saul. And that's all I can understand it is. And somehow in that moment, Saul sees David in a different light, and he says, "Okay, you can fight. And I'll risk the whole army on you," unlikely as it is. You know, I mean, it's 1,000 to 1 that David's going to get the call to go into battle, and it's about 1,000,000 to 1 that he's going to walk back. But Saul says, "What are we going to lose? 40 days of getting mocked is more than I can take." And he puts him in. And David sees Goliath in this light. And maybe the most crucial thing this morning is just how David sees God. Because I think that's the thing we need to take away this morning as well as we close out. David said to the Philistine, again, you see no Goliath. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. And this very day I'll give your carcass and the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you all into our hands." And as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. And reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. And so David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. the end of the day, it's how he saw God that mattered. It wasn't just what David saw out there, and it wasn't just what David remembered from back there. It was what David knew about God up there. That he knew that it really wasn't what that possessed him, it was who. That he had this personal, direct relationship with God, that he was able to see God and to see God at work in this. And I encourage you this afternoon, just go read the story again and look for the word God, because in the NIV, you're not going to find the word God until verse 26. There is no God in the first half of the story. When the Philistine challenges the Israelites, when he calls them servants of Saul, when the text speaks about Saul, God is never mentioned. It isn't until David comes on the scene that God enters the picture as well. And it's God that David depends on. Everybody else was depending on themselves. It was only David that depends on God. Only one character in the story ever mentions God, and that's David. He has no size, this David, but he turns down the armor. He has no battle experience, but he has a sense of the presence of God. And Eugene Peterson plays this little thing in here, and I think he's right, but you know, you can't prove it. But he has this beautiful image that's sort of in the text. Goliath is mocking and arrogant, and the Israelites fearful. And David walks up to the brook, and he picks, it says, five smooth stones. Now, it doesn't say he just grabbed a handful of rocks. It says five. Why five? Well, my theory is that he figured he could get five shots off before Goliath could pin him like a butterfly to the wall, you know. Why smooth? Because you want aerodynamic stones that curve exactly the right way, and you know you can hit your target bang on with that. Well, how do you find five smooth stones in the midst of this rocky field? Because we've been to that place, and it's just a rock field. Well, he knelt down, and he selected five smooth stones. Text doesn't say he kneels, but that's how else do you do it? Just the right ones. And for just a moment, David is kneeling, and he's the only one in the story that kneels. He's the only one in the story who prays. He's the only one in the story who seems to be aware that God is present. And I think in his heart, he's been kneeling before God the whole time. But now that he gets to pick up his stones, he kneels. And I don't think it's that hard to imagine that on his knees, he just prays this quick prayer. God, I'm not sure what I got myself into, but together we can do this. And he reminds himself of God's presence, and he prays for God's power. And it's only now that our text says that David runs toward the Philistine. And now I think the whole story runs. And David runs up, and he grabs his stone, and he slings it. And the stone's flying through the air, and in slow motion, you watch that stone just beautifully curve in. And all of a sudden, Goliath realizes he's been watching the wrong hand of David. He's been watching the hand with the spear or the staff when he should have been watching the hand with the sling. And all of a sudden, the rock closes in, and it hits its mark, and the story is over. And the giant problem is now comatose on the ground because a man knelt at a brook and allowed God to help him to see afresh and so overcome the challenge. I just wonder this morning, are you facing a challenge? One of the things about challenges is they become so big that they block out everything else. Goliath was such a giant in the eyes of these people that they lost sight of God. He blocked out the sky. And we've always said this here, right? Worry is just simply seeing the future without God in it. And David sees God at work, and he realizes what the challenge can be overcome because of how he saw Goliath, because of how he saw his past, because of how he saw the problem, and simply because of how he saw God. And this afternoon, as we go back to our real worlds, and we this week perhaps encounter some of the giants in our lives, how we see them, how we see them in the context of God makes all the difference in the world. And how we allow God to be at work in us and how we allow God to be at work in our situation determines whether we're giant slayers or not. So, Father, we thank you this morning for the story. Story about a young David already showing his signs of greatness, who comes not in his strength against all the challenges that are there, but comes in your power, knowing that you're enough to face his challenges, to overcome his problems. And Father, this morning we pray that we would see you in the midst of our challenges, that we would see Jesus, and that we would know that Christ is enough to overcome the giants in our lives as well. We pray that in your name.